The scripture reading today is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. But unto them which are all called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Let's start with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can be here today and that we can hear your word. Lord, let these not be my words but yours, and also open the ears of those in the audience that it can touch their hearts as well. We pray in your name, amen. Okay. I'll step forward and speak louder. No, it's just me with a soft voice. All right. On May 24th, a 26-year-old gang member was convicted for the brutal execution-style murder of three people at a New Jersey elementary school. One survived the attack after suffering traumatic injuries. The gang was made up of primarily Central American immigrants. The recent oil spill that occurred several weeks ago in the Gulf of Mexico, which continues to pour thousands of gallons of oil into the coastal waters, experts are saying that the economic and environmental impact that this will have on our environment is critical. Many hundreds of people will now be without jobs because there's no more marine life. No new solution at this time has been found. Instead, the government invested $500 million to research the impact that they will have on the environment, rather than pouring that financial assistance into finding a cure. March 23rd, a man stabs 8 students to death and wounds 5 others at an elementary school in the Fujian province. The attacker was a former community doctor. April 30th, a farmer entered a school village and attacked preschool students with a hammer before killing himself. Volcanoes have erupted. More devastating earthquakes have been reported more recently than in any other time in our history. Our world is in trouble. Our people are clamoring for help. Everywhere you go, you hear the seeking questions of why. Why did this happen? You know, why can't we stop this, or when is this going to end? More and more people are committing suicide. So many people are weeping because a family member is no longer going to be coming home. When the answers to these why questions are written right here in front of us. Let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, and we're going to start with verse 3. And it says, And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? They were just as curious then about the end times as we are today. Listen closely to what Jesus says, for this is the answer to those why questions. Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All of these things are but the beginning of sorrows. Those listed above sound like what we hear every day on the news, don't they? The Lord is trying to wake us up. He is trying to let us know that our time on this earth is short. And do you realize what the most heart-wrenching thing is? Is we're not paying attention. We think that these things are simply a part of everyday life, that these things are somehow supposed to happen. And we continue living our daily lives, perhaps in almost a ritualistic state. We wake up, we eat, go to work, maybe read our Sabbath school lesson. Maybe we will even be adventurous enough to look up the memory verse in the Bible. Pray, thanking God for our day and our blessings he bestowed upon us, and then go to bed, only to repeat the same process again the next morning. The people outside of this church are allowed to ask why questions because they have not, maybe they haven't been introduced to the scriptures. Many do not even believe that there is a God. At work the other day, we were discussing what is going to happen in our future, and the responses were actually rather shocking. Some believe the world was just going to suddenly end in the year of 2012, and that mice were going to be the only things that were still living. Others believe in a Big Bang theory, which isn't necessarily going to happen in the year of 2012. Others believe that the world's going to continue forever and ever and ever, and that's just the way of it. We're just going to continue to exist. Not one out of the 7 or 8 people that was there mentioned God. And we, as Seventh-day Adventists, have been given these answers. We have been given the truth, and even we are hesitant to acknowledge the warning signs that have been given to us. Let us read on in verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But listen to what Jesus says next. But he says, he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. The next verse is even more extremely important, and listen closely. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Did you hear that? I'm going to read it again. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Will this be done by one individual alone? No. We have been set apart as a special people, given a message to spread to the world. In Christ Objects Lessons, page 332, it reads, every year, millions upon millions of human souls are passing into eternity unwarned and unsaved. From hour to hour in our varied life, opportunities are continually coming and going. God desires us to make the most of them. Days, weeks, months are passing. We have one day, one week, one month less in which to do our work. I have to think how many times I've had the opportunity to spread this message at work, at home with my friends, families, and neighbors, and how often I turned away from those opportunities because I was too afraid to say something. Maybe you know of an opportunity that you let pass by, and you discovered later that that person had passed away a few days, weeks, or maybe years later, and you wished you had that just those few moments back again when you could have shared your faith with that individual. Who knows if you could have made the difference in that person's life? Sometimes we only get one chance, and shouldn't we make the most of it? Many wonder, what can I do? You know, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm sick. You know, Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Everyone has been given a talent. You may not be any of those listed. Perhaps you're good at speaking or playing the piano, or maybe you're good at, you know, reading. You know, everyone has a talent. We have to find that talent within us. If you are a part of this church and you believe with all of your heart that the Lord is coming soon, then you are a part of the body of Christ. You have then being a part of this body, have been set apart and called by Christ to speed his coming. What an honor to have been chosen. I once read in the devotional book Maranatha, page 19, that it is the unbelief, the worldliness, the unconsecration and strife among the Lord's professed people that have kept us in this world of sin and sorrow. We ask, why has the Lord not come? You know, when is he coming? And here's the answer. We're here. We are still here in this world because of us. We are the ones that are hindering Christ's coming. I thought, well, we cannot hope to spread this message of the Lord's second coming by ourselves. The Lord desired us to unify because we are one body in Christ. And what do I mean? I mean, there is no such thing as the Elmira Church, the Corning Church. There's one in Bath, the Bath or Cornerstone Church, the Sarah or the Friendship Church. We are one church, one body given different talents to help spread the good news and prepare the hearts of all nations for the second coming of Christ. Sometimes it seems that we are hindered from spreading this message because of spiritual pride. I want to use an analogy, and please bear with me. Most of you know I'm a nurse, and I have to kind of, I learn better when I put it to the human body. Everyone knows that their heart is pretty much the size of their fist, okay? And I don't know how many of you are familiar with the anatomy and physiology of the human body, so we're just going to do a quick refresher. So this is going to be our heart, okay? We have veins that carry deoxygenated blood, which just means it has no nutritional value. It does not benefit our body in any way. The heart acts as a guide, and it guides it to the lungs where it can regain that nourishment. It regains oxygen, comes back to the heart, who will then send it to the rest of the body to provide nourishment. I know that Christ is represented as the head of the body, but for the sake of this analogy, we're going to put Christ as the heart. And we, as God's people, are going to be the blood.
When
we allow Christ to work in our lives, you know, we have to come to Christ as we are, defeated and helpless, okay? Constantly needing guidance. And God is going to act as our guide as long as we allow him to work with us. And he's going to send us to where we need to go. So in this case, the first place we're going is the lungs, so that we can have a heightened spiritual relationship with Christ, which we receive through the gospel. After we have been revived of a sort, we go back through Christ, and he's going to then send us, because we now have this gospel message, to the rest of the body, in other words, the rest of the world, to spread this gospel and this good news to them. I don't know if that makes sense or not. However, sometimes the human heart is not able to function properly due to maybe an electrical impulse irregularity or an outside force, and it can no longer pump or guide the blood to where it needs to go. One condition out of many is called atrial fibrillation. This is when the upper chambers of the heart merely quiver, and because blood is not being sent where it needs to go, the blood becomes stagnant and can form clots, which have the capacity to kill the human body. It is no different with Christ. If we do not allow Christ to work in our lives, he is not able to guide us where we need to go. And we become stagnant. And perhaps maybe we sit in the church pews, ignoring the mission that we have been given, and will form clots, which have the capacity to injure the body of Christ. I'm not sure about the rest of you, but I don't want to be a hindrance to the work of Christ. I want to be as excited about sharing the good news as the Apostle Paul was when he was transformed. And when Christ comes again and asks me to give an account of my stewardship, I don't want to be the one who says I took my one talent and I buried it, but rather the one who had five talents and had gained five more. We must not allow spiritual pride to hinder our mission. What an honor it is to have been chosen to spread the good news. For if we set aside our pride and come together without compromising our beliefs or our morals and realize that we are one body in Christ set with one mission, and our actions concerning that mission will determine our final destination, what will your response be when the Lord asks you to give an account of your stewardship? For faith without works is dead. Thanks.
Our gracious God, thank you for the message of the day, and may we truly, as your children, as adopted children of the family of God, and your representatives here upon this earth, be on fire for thee, Father. May we truly do what you have asked us to do, and yes, Christian soldiers, as to war, with the cross of Jesus before us, we can do anything for thee, Father, with your power. In Jesus' precious name, amen.